Going to be looking a little while at another one of those great questions of the Bible. And we've been throughout the year, our theme this year being the word consider. One of the things that when God asks man a question, he's asking him to consider something. Remember, when God asks man a question, he's not looking for knowledge. God knows it all already. So what he's doing is he wants man to learn something about either him or something to learn something about themselves. And most of the time, it kind of ties in together. We've looked at a lot of the great questions of the Bible. We looked at how God's speaking to man. We've looked at man speaking to God. Also looked at God speaking to the devil when he's asking about the question about Job. And here in the story this morning, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And the question is not one that you're probably super familiar with, and it's even a little bit of a tongue twister, but it's something that I think it's good and it's important. If you look here in Mark chapter number 7, and it says in verse number 18, "And he saith unto them, Are ye so without understanding also?" If you would think from that standpoint, are ye so without understanding also? So Jesus is asking disciples a question, and he says, don't you understand what I'm saying? He says, now they didn't, and he understood why they didn't understand it, but he's saying also, and the idea says, are ye without understanding also? So in the scriptures today, we're going to look at a powerful truth. And something that God's been working on my heart for a little while. We have in the back, we've been doing Sunday school / junior church together in the back just to try to make sure the kids can space out a little bit. And we've been each Sunday school hour, they do an object lesson. And one of the ladies was teaching the object lesson this week, and I gave the object lesson as something that was an encouragement and reminded me. And especially when we looked on Wednesday night when we preached about he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Talked about how sometimes if you're not able to control your emotions and control your physical life, you're like a city that's broken down and without walls. And I'm sure, I know not everybody was here Wednesday night, but I'm sure everybody watched it online and you're all ready and understanding what I'm talking about, but I'll give you a little reminder of that. It's the idea that if you do not are not spiritually under control of the Holy Spirit of God, you're leaving yourself wide open to the enemy. If you cannot control your own spirit, the scripture says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit, meaning that they're not able to control their emotions, not able to control them physically. If you can't control your own spirit, what you're doing is you're nothing but like a city that's broken down and without walls, meaning that everything that is good leaves and everything that's bad comes in. You're leaving yourself wide open in certain areas for the devil. And on Wednesday night, we talked about where does a person get to have temperance? Where does a person get self-control from? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not something you can work yourself up into. It's not something that you can live such a disciplined life that you're going to act like Jesus Christ. No, it's when we let the Holy Spirit have control and the Holy Spirit have work and power in our lives, he then produces the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those different fruits of the Spirit. So in the scripture today, the Pharisees, and we're not going to go back and look at the whole chapter because I want to focus a little bit on the importance of the inside. The Pharisees are challenging Jesus. The disciples didn't wash their hands. And because the disciples didn't wash their hands, the Pharisees began to give Jesus a hard time, and Jesus corrects them. Jesus calls them hypocrites. Jesus says, look, you're so focused on these outward things, you've missed everything that's inward, which is the most important. And as Jesus is there and he's correcting them, he turns around and he says here in verse number 14, he said, when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, he calls the whole group there. There's people that are there. Pharisees are questioning. Pharisees are giving him a hard time. And he says to him, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. Then he says, there is nothing from without a man that entering in him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. I find it interesting in verse number 14, he tells him to hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. And then in verse number 16, he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. So there's two different times he says, look, I want you to pay attention here. And then he gives this verse in verse number 15 saying, hey, look, it's not what you put inside yourself that defiles you. It's what comes out of you. Well, in verse number 17, and when he entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And so the disciples didn't get it or understand either. And Jesus says in verse number 18, he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? He says, don't you understand? He says, I just taught this to the people. I thought you already understood this. Now, once again, Jesus knows already. He's all-knowing. He knows they did not understand. He's saying, this is something you should know. This is something you should understand, that this is important. This is something that's basic. But it's a powerful truth that can help us in the way that we live our Christian lives. It's a powerful truth to understand that how God looketh on the inside. Remember when Samuel came to anoint David, and Samuel was there and looked at all the older brothers and thinking, hey, this is the guy, this is the guy. And in 1 Samuel chapter number 16, he says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the what? The heart. And this is key. This is what Jesus is saying here. He says it's not the fact that you didn't wash your hands and that you were putting something in you that made you defile, because the Pharisees of the day, they were hypocrites. They would justify all the different things and replace the Bible. They would take their different things that they would put upon men, and they would replace the Word of God. If you look here, it says here up here in verse number 9, he said unto him, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. What the Pharisees were doing, they were doing things that made themselves look good, made themselves feel good, made themselves rich. He says, you've rejected the Word of God so you can keep your traditions. And so that's when Jesus says, hey, look, don't worry about whether or not they wash their hands. You should be worrying about what's inside. Now, let me first say, and for you that know me and understand me, you know, what's right on the inside, if you're right on the inside, you're going to be right on the outside. If you're right on the inside, you're not going to have a problem living for the Lord and not have a problem with standards and have a problem with dressing what the Bible would say in a modest way. You're not going to have an issue with the things that a lot of people in the world struggle with, because a lot of people in the world, they're wrong on the inside. What's on the inside, if it's right, it will come out. And that's what the scripture is saying, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So what I'd like to talk about this little while and preach about for a little while is being right on the inside. Because this is something that Jesus was saying to them, and even went as far as saying, and are ye so without understanding also? And then he says, continues on in verse number 18, do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. It's saying, look, the things that go in, they come in and they're dismissed, they're purged out. But he says in verse 21, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, there are some things that we should know and we should understand, especially those that know you as their personal Savior, those who claim to be Christians on their way to heaven. There are some simple truths that are preached and taught throughout the Bible. And Lord, these are things that we should know and understand. There's things that we should be perceiving, but many times we've turned a blind eye to them. God, I pray you encourage us today. Lord, that you help us to desire to want to be right. Help us to desire to have the fruit of the Spirit coming out instead of our own flesh. And God, as we consider these things, I pray if there's someone here today that does not know you as a personal Savior, Lord, that they would come to a saving knowledge of you through the preaching and teaching of your word. Lord, we know that you love mankind. We know that for God so loved the world that he came and that he died. And Lord, we pray that you help us today through the preaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the reality is sometimes we respond the wrong way. I don't know about you. Maybe you always respond in kindness, generous. Maybe you always respond in a forgiving spirit. Maybe you never get upset, you never get mad. And sometimes in your life, you turn around, you do things, and you wonder, hey, where'd that come from? You ever got really mad at somebody, and you're like, Hey, where'd that come from? It came from inside. The reality is, what's inside of us is what comes out. Think about what the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. What the scripture is saying here is, where does all these sins come from? In verse number 21, it's saying, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things, they come from within and defile. Now, I want you to understand something, church. Sometimes we like to blame other people, and sometimes we like to blame circumstances. When I was explaining to the lady about the object lesson, I was saying, well, use this as an idea. Sometimes when your brother or sister does something bad to you, how do you respond? Like if your brother or sister says something bad about you, do you respond in a kind way, or do you respond in a way that is something that God wouldn't be happy with? We like to say, well, it's the brother or sister's fault because they react how they did what they did. But the reality, we are in charge of our own reactions. How we respond to something is what we're going to be held accountable for. And even if someone is acting in a way that's inappropriate and acting in a way that's trying to pull you along, or something that's trying to encourage you to get riled up and trying to get you to respond in an ungodly way, it's not that person that you're going to be held accountable for, but how you react to that person is where your accountability comes from. And so what the scriptures are saying is, when you respond in a way that is ugly, when you respond in a way that is not Christ-like, when you respond in a way that is not loving or kind or forgiving, you know what? That's what you're going to be held accountable for. And in the day and time that we live in today, there's a lot of craziness going out there. There's a lot of things happening in the world, and there are people that are trying to cause other people to overreact. There are people out there that are trying to cause people to act in an ungodly way so they can point at them and they can say, hey, I thought you said you were a Christian. I want to encourage you today, as not just we sit there and look at how all the other craziness that's going on in the world. We see the looting, and we see the rioting, and we see people misbehaving, and we see all the challenges that are on the horizon, because there is a lot. But my encouragement for you today is to make sure that you're right inside, so that way you know how to respond. I know how some people are saying, well, I know how to respond. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But is that how God wants you to respond? The scriptures are clear many times on how we're supposed to respond to others. And sometimes when we're heading into days and circumstances that no one's ever gone through before, and we're seeing things that no one's ever seen before, and we do not know how to respond, I'm telling you that if we will make sure that we're right on the inside, God will lead us, God will guide us, and God will help us in knowing how to respond to the people as we come across them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The scriptures are saying here, hey, look, make sure your heart's right. Make sure it's right with all diligence. Make sure it's something that is clean, and that there's nothing that's between you and the Savior. So that way, the issues of life, when they come out, they're going to be something that's Christ-like. I see it, and I understand the passion that some people have. I understand how some people are responding in certain ways, and I have pastor friends that I sit there and I read some of the things that they're saying, and I'm not judging them, but I'm wondering sometimes, is that the Christ-like way to respond? And I'm not saying that we should stand up and not speak up and not do what is right and take a stand for what's right, because we need to and we should. But at the same time, there is a Christ-like way of doing things. And the challenge that's given here is, hey, if you're responding the wrong way, you know what's happening? It's not because of the people that are misbehaving. There's always been people that have been misbehaving. If we respond in the wrong way, that means there's something wrong inside. When you're having a discussion, or what some people like to call a fight with your mate, I'm sure that you never have any type of fights. You just watch other people have the fights. But when you're having a fight with your mate and they start saying things that you know what's going to upset you, you know, how are you going to respond? You can blame the mate for the problem. You can blame the mate for the issue. But in the way that you respond, when you respond in an ungodly way, you know whose fault it is? It's what's on the inside. It's what you're letting control you on the inside. It comes to the object lesson. I know if you've been around for a little while, you've seen this object lesson before. But I know not everybody's been around for a while, so we'll show you here. So this is a cup of water. And there's nothing special in there, it's just water. Inside the cup of water, you can't blame the cup of water for what's getting ready to happen. If you take a tea bag and you put the cup of water inside the tea bag, you know what happens? what's inside the tea bag comes out. At least it's supposed to. It is, slowly but surely. And so what's the illustration here? What's the biblical truth here? The water activates the tea bag. It unleashes the taste in the water that's around it. Hot water does not create the taste. You know what creates the taste? It's what's inside of there. It merely reveals something that's already in there. It's what's inside the tea bag that's coming out. This depicts what happens in the human heart. The pressures around us, many times unfavorable circumstances, the temptations, the commands of God to love him and to love our neighbor, merely are drawn out of a heart that's already in it. For a person that's going to respond in the right way, you're saying, where did that come from? It's because it was already in their heart. For a person to respond in the wrong way, where does that come from? It comes from what's in their heart. And here, it doesn't look like it's working very well. I guess the water's got to be hot. it's going. But we cannot blame the hot water for the taste that's in the cup. The contents of the tea bag determine the flavor of the tea. If we don't like a particular taste, you know what we need to do? We need to change to a different type of tea. It's a consideration there. There are some teas that are a little bit sweeter, and there's some teas that are a little bit bitter. And I'm not talking about sweet tea, because that's the sugar that's inside of it. But there are different teas that have different flavors. Some are a little sweeter, some are a little bitter. If you don't like the bitterness, then what needs to happen? You need to change your tea bag. You can't just change the water to change the flavor that's inside the tea bag, because it's what's inside the tea bag that matters. And Christian, if you don't like the way you're responding to things, if you don't like how you're treating your children, or you don't like how you're treating your mate, you don't like how you're treating your parents, it's not the fact that you need to get new parents, even though sometimes kids feel that way. Sometimes it's not the fact that you need to trade in your mates or trade in your kids, and they won't let you do that. I've tried that before. Come on, that was at least a little bit funny. it's not that, it's the fact that we need to change what's on the inside. And that's what the scripture is saying here. Jesus is saying to him, are ye so without understanding also? He says, I get why the Pharisees don't understand it. They don't know me. I get why the crowds are not there. That's why I had to tell them in verse number 14, hearken unto me. And I had to tell them in verse number 16, if you have ears to hear, you know, let them hear. He says, I understand why they don't get that. But he's saying to these disciples that have been walking with him for a little while, he's saying with these disciples, this is something you should already perceive. This is something you should already know. This is not something that should be a surprise to you, because he even says, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? He says, look, it's not the things that you're putting inside. But remember, and I don't like some of these verses because they speak to my heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What is it we think about? And that's a challenge sometimes, because we're not always thinking about the right things. We're not always thinking about good things. And we're thinking, man, there's something wrong with me. I can't get this. It's not the fact that the water is the issue. You're not going to change the water to get the flavor of the tea change. You're going to change what's inside the tea bag. And Christian, if you don't like the way you're responding, if you don't like the way how things are turning out, and you don't like the way that circumstances are going, and saying, man, I wish I could respond like Joseph did to his brothers. I wish I could respond the way that Jesus did to different other people. And Jesus was hard on the hypocrites. He was not a sissy at all. He was someone who spoke the truth and did it boldly, but he also was someone who had compassion. He was someone who brought the truth across in a way that needed to be presented. You say, well, he's God. Of course he knows how to do that. Well, who lives inside of you? It's the Holy Spirit of God that lives within you, and he's the one that can give you the exact words that you need to say and the exact things that you need to do. And it's because of, you say, well, I'm not acting like him much. You need to change what's inside of you. You need to change the flavor of the tea that's there. Similarly, we cannot blame our bitterness, our anger, our despair, our deception, our cruelty on such things just because we're put under pressure. We see different characters in the Bible over and over that responded in a way that was amazing. I don't know about you, the one that comes to my mind is the one that is written with the tea bag illustration. It talks about Paul and Silas. They're there, they're in prison, they're singing at midnight. And you know what? You remember what happened, right? The jails, the earthquake, the chains fall off. But how can a guy, how can two guys, be beaten for doing nothing but a good thing, thrown into prison, and then at midnight, they're singing and praying. I don't know about you, I wouldn't be reacting that way. I would be probably whimpering because, you know, I don't like pain. And some of you guys, I'm sure, are really manly men and you can handle pain. Me, I don't like pain. And you sit there and they're there and they're singing at midnight and you're wondering, how do you respond that way? It's because of what's inside of them. You can't blame the circumstances. You can't blame the hot water of suffering that revealed the nature of the hearts of these two men. We see their response that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard him. While other believers might react to such mistreatment with bitterness and anger or with despair and with discouragement, Paul and Silas responded with praise and thanksgiving. What's the difference? The hearts of these men had been changed to be like Christ. I mean, what could you imagine what's going on with Stephen there? And Stephen gets up and preaches one of the greatest messages that's recorded in the Bible. And it's a fantastic message, but they're sitting there, they're chucking rocks at him. They're so angry and they're so upset and they're so mad. He's just there, you know, Father, forgive him. Joseph's brothers hate him so much, they throw him a pit. They sell him into slavery. He's there. And Joseph's like, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it unto good. You know, how can a person respond that way? What's inside is what's coming out. And when we have issues and we have problems and we have react in a way of anger, or we react in a way that we think we're demonstrating our rights and we're saying, well, it's just how I feel. Your heart is wicked. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. It is something that is, there is a problem with our hearts. That's what the Bible is talking about then, about a person that cannot control their own spirit, when he says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. It's someone that gives the devil a chance, gives the devil an opening and says, here, you respond this way because you don't have any control over your own spirit. You have not let the Holy Spirit of God be the one that's leading you. You not have given the Holy Spirit control over your heart and life. Saul and Paul and Silas' clothes, they had been rent, they had been beaten, they had been thrown into the inner prison. But how did they respond to this? The hot water of suffering was there, it was turned up, and how do they respond? They sing, they praise, and God uses that to reach someone that would have been considered a hard case. Now, how are we going to make a difference in this world? Are we going to make a difference by reacting in an ungodly way? I tell you, we're not. So, Pastor, how am I supposed to react? Get as close to God as you can. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust your feelings. Let the Word of God lead you and direct you and guide you in every area and every situation. Just because something is going on your right, going on that seems different and unusual, does not mean that it gives us a right to just do whatever we want and say whatever we want and just say, hey, I'm a Christian, it's okay. I believe that we are living in the last days. At least it seems like, as prophecies seem like they're being fulfilled right before our eyes. Does that mean that next year we might not be here? Maybe so. If that means the case that we might not be here that much longer, what should we do? I mean, should we go and live whatever way we want because we know we get to go to heaven soon? I don't think so. I think that should cause us to rev things up. I think that should cause us to want to be a greater witness. I think that should cause us to want to respond in a God-fearing way, because remember, it's the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. It's when we stand and say, I'm living consciously in the presence of God, and I understand God sees everything I do and everything I say, and that's not just a way to make sure I don't do something that's wrong, but no, instead, that's because I want God to see everything I say and everything I do. I want God to lead me. I want God to direct me, because I want to make a difference in this world. But we're never going to make a difference until we have this understanding. Stop blaming the circumstance of your life for the reason why you're not turning out to be the Christian that you want to. Stop saying it was my mom and dad's fault for not taking me to church. Or stop saying it's because my parents don't go to church. Or because it's my pastor's fault because he doesn't preach that well. Or it's my Sunday school teacher's fault because they don't prepare that well. Or it's because I go to a Christian school, or I go to a public school, or because I'm homeschooled. Don't be making excuses, because it's what's inside that's causing your reaction. It's how you take care of those things that are inside. It's not those things that go into our heart, but instead is what comes out. It says in verse 21, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, the adulteries, the fornications, the murders. Jesus is here, and he's saying to them, hey, look, don't be so dull not to hear this. Don't let your hearing be so dull. He said, and said in verse 16, if any man have ears, let him hear. He reiterates that the problem is not the external things that pollute our hearts, but the internal issues that pollute our hearts and work their way out. So when you have a nasty attitude or when you respond in an angry, ungodly way, don't keep on blaming, well, it's because of this country that we live in or it's because of the circumstances. It's because there's something wrong in here. Is there something in here that needs a change? There's something in here I need to give over to the Lord. There's something in here that needs to make the flavor a little bit better. Hey, it's starting to work now. I don't plan on drinking it because it's unsweet. I don't know why anybody would want to drink unsweet tea, unless you were on a diet, which I know what you're thinking. I'd rather have something a little sweeter. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we really want something sweeter. We want to respond in the right way. I want to respond in a way that's Christ-like. I want to be the guy that's singing and praying at midnight. I don't want to be the guy that got beat. But when something adverse happens to me, how am I responding? And I see it. It amazes me. I see sometimes Christians that can go through so many different things and watch and appreciate it, and then one little thing, and they get all mad. It amazes me sometimes when I see somebody who has maybe dresses the right way, always faithful to church, always has this image of being all put together. But when something doesn't go their way, not Christ-like at all. And that's what he's saying here about the Pharisees is, hey, look, if you go and you look and said in verse number 6, it says, he answered and said unto them, well have Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And once again, I'm not saying that a person cannot slip up, and I'm not saying a person can't react in the wrong way and that they're unsaved. I'm not saying that at all. We're going to talk about what it means to be saved here in a second. But what I'm saying is, if you can't have your spirit under control, there's something wrong in here. There's something you need to give over to the Holy Spirit of God. You need to consecrate your life a little bit more and give it over to God and say, God, I need your help. The lesson in some of our lessons that are going through the victory book in the back was cry out to God, is realize, hey, it's not my circumstances that's causing me to have a bad attitude. It's something that's in here. And I need to realize as a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God lives within me, and I can produce the fruits of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the gentleness. I can produce all those things in my heart and life, not because of me, because the Holy Spirit resides in me. It's in there, and he can work it out. But when there is evil thoughts, you look at that list of things. It's sort of like you're reading the newspaper ads for today, the evil thoughts, the adulteries. And most people don't even think that's sin anymore. Fornication, you know, sexual sins, that's murders. And there's murders happening all over the place, not even considering the abortion, that's murder. The thefts, the covetousness. It looks like the front page of the paper. Where is all this coming from? It's because it's what's inside. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You say, Pastor, I've heard all this before. And that's when Jesus looks at them and says, are ye so without understanding also? Yeah, this is something you should know. It says here, he says, do ye not perceive? Don't you get this? But how do we respond to it? When we respond angry, we just say, that person's fault. They made me do that. They might have done wrong, yes. And they're going to have to answer to God for that. But when you respond in an ungodly way, that's not them that's going to have to be accountable for that. I want to encourage you today, if you don't like the way you're responding, look inside. Look what God can make of you. Love, joy, peace, long stuff. Look what God can do in a person's heart and life. And if something really tears you up or you respond in, what does it talk about the person that has a great love for the law? I'm not quoting it, but it talks about the person that has a great love for the law that nothing's going to offend them. Why is that? It's because they're right on the inside. They're going to continue to believe God's in control, and they're going to continue on working and responding in the right way. And the right response is sometimes take a strong stand. Stand for what's right and do what's right. But there's no way to do it. And we look at the example that Jesus gives us, and he said, that's the way I want to respond. Get close to him. Let him lead you and guide you and direct you and all that. Now, there are some that have no choice in responding in the wrong way. So what do you mean? Well, there's some that doesn't have the Holy Spirit helping them. Well, so who would be that person? So I want to change. I want to respond like Paul and Silas. I want to respond like a Joseph. I want to respond like a Stephen. I want to respond like a Ruth to Naomi. I want to respond in the right way. We need God's help. But the first and most important thing you can ever make is a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. See, the Bible teaches us that we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that sin, there's a wage to that sin. The wage of sin is death. That means that we will be eternally separated from God. But because God loved us so much, the Bible says that he commendeth his love. He proved, he showed, he demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, apart, going to be eternally separated from God, Christ died for us. So what's the importance of Christ dying for us? He paid our sin debt for us. And because he paid our sin debt for us, now we have the opportunity to put our faith and trust in him and become a child of God. We have an opportunity of going to a wonderful place called heaven instead of a horrible place called hell. But you must first understand, hey, I'm a sinner, and because of my sin, I'm now going to be separated from God forever. I see what my sin has done, and I know that my sin separates me from God, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Just a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation. And if you'd like to come forward, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you the greatest decision you can make by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'd love to have someone come to know Christ today. And to those that are believers in the room, don't keep on making excuses for the way that we respond in a bad way. Like I said, Jesus could be coming back at any moment in time. I think most people say, you know what? That could possibly be true. He's definitely closer today than he was yesterday. So because of that, shouldn't I want to serve him even more today? If he's coming back really soon, isn't there somebody that needs to hear it today? Doesn't mean that we go and we keep on loving the things of this world. Instead, we say, hey, he's coming back really soon. There's not much time left. I need to work while it's day, because the day cometh. Night comes where no man can work. So today, do you know Jesus Christ? Second thing is, if you know him, do you like the way you respond to things? Do you really respond in a God-honoring way to things? Once again, there is a lot of circumstances going out there today that will give you plenty of reasons to respond in a wrong way. I think there is people on purpose that are reacting in certain ways just so they can look at how a Christian is responding. They're going to do things to just yank your chain on purpose to get you to respond in the wrong way so they can point at you and say, that's not the way the Bible says to respond. They're going to do things on purpose, sometimes even inside our own homes, out there in the community, even in our workplaces. They're going to do things to try you and to test you. So they don't do, the devil is really good at what he does. And he knows where you struggle at. He is not omnipotent. He is not everywhere. That is only God himself. But he knows the things that you struggle with. And he says that you got an anger problem. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to try to get you angry. He wants you to hurt your testimony. You know what he's going to do? He's going to do whatever he can to cause you to be rendered useless for his service. Because when we are struggling with the way we react and we know that we've given into a sin or given into a temptation or given into a weakness, you know, at that moment in time, we're not really helpful to God. We had to get our hearts right. We had to ask for forgiveness. We had to bring that before the Lord so that way we can be ready to serve him again. It's much better to respond to begin with. And next time you respond in the wrong way, ask God to help you. Say, okay, God, I see what the scripture's saying. It's not with the things I'm doing outwardly that's causing me to react in the wrong way. There's something wrong inside. There's something I need to give over to the Lord. Something I need to let the Holy Spirit produce that love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Because I know those are not the things that are coming out of me. Instead, the things that are coming out of me, they are not what I want. So because of that, I need to change something inwardly. Once again, if you don't like how it's turning out, you need to change what you put in there. Now me, I would rather have Mountain Dew in there. Even better than sweet tea. But Mountain Dew didn't work. But the tea itself, you have to change the type of tea bag it is if you want to change the taste. And if you want to change how you react, you're going to have to change what's inside so you can react properly outside. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Lord, you know everyone's heart. I don't know everyone's heart. But Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as a person, doesn't know you as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray you send your Holy Spirit to convict their hearts and show them their need and show them that that you love them and that you died for them. And you're not willing that any should perish. That you want all to come to repentance. And God, to the believers in the room, or I know that I don't react always the way I should. Lord, help me to not look at all the circumstances and blame the hot water of the pressure that's happening to reacting the wrong way. But instead, Lord, help me to see and understand the truth that it's what's inward that's causing the reaction and the problems. Lord, work in our hearts and lives. Lord, we need you. Help us not to be a city that is broken down and without walls. Help us to be able to rule our own spirits with the Holy Spirit's help. In Jesus' name, amen. So during our invitation times, we're also staying, remaining seated with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you'd like to come to the altar, you're welcome to. I pray God's worked and spoken to your heart. If you do not know Christ as your personal Savior, come forward and we'll have somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. But I want you to encourage you to stay and to be considering the things that have been said. The altar's open as Brother Jim sings.